we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Friday, Brevard County. It's a good day to be alive. Amen. This is the last day of my vacation, so I kind of have a little bit of a different take on that. But we are excited to be here today. And I just want to say thank you to those who listen and have come up to us and, you know, found us in unusual spots and, you know, said your voice sounds familiar and stuff like that. So thank you for those of you who listen on the way to work. Thank you for those who listen while you're at work. And thank you for making Christian radio a part of your day. For those of you who listen in your home, I've had people said that they were listening in their home, and some service people came in and recognized the program while they were working on their on the other people's houses. Some people listen in the car ride on the way home. Some listen on the internet. And so however you listen to WMIE 91.5 or WWBC 1510 AM, or if you listen at 8:30 or 10:30 or 5 o'clock, whenever you listen, we just want to say thank you for making us part of your day. So today is Friday, February the 19th. We do want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you have any air conditioning needs here in Central Brevard County, give them a call. And I'll give you a little bit of a tip. This happened to us recently. I was sitting in my office and the air conditioner started making a little bit of a strange noise. And so, if you have ever had a car that made a funny noise or an air conditioner that made a funny noise, and then you call and they say, well, what is it doing? And then you try and make that noise, and then the person is supposed to decipher that noise. And sometimes the sound that you make doesn't really sound like the sound that you're trying to duplicate. And so here a couple of weeks ago, one of our air conditioners was having an issue, and I took my cell phone and I recorded the sound that it was making, and I sent it to Bill Andriak at Creative AC Solutions and 759-3284. I texted that to him, and that way I could play it for him, and he was able to know what area to look at for the to find the repair. So I encourage you to do that, whether it's car repair or something that's going on in your home or air conditioner, heater, whatever it is. If you take your cell phone and duplicate that sound, then when you take it to the mechanic or the repairman, you can play it. This is the sound that it's making. It will really help them in their diagnostic system. So if you need some help with your AC, call Bill, 759-3284, 759-3284. So do want to invite you out to our missions convention weekend. This weekend we have Dr. Gary Kellner that is going to be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night, and he is going to be challenging us with their latest missions project around the globe. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that, this is a faith promise and endeavor. And so if you would like to come out and have your faith stretched and believe God for more than you've ever been part of before, I encourage you to do that. Sunday morning, Sunday school is 9:30. 10:30 is the worship service. We have a banquet at 6:30. And so if you are planning on coming, you're not a normal part of Merritt Assembly of God, but you'd like to come to our missions banquet, we'd like to make sure that we have seating available for you and food that's available for you. So please call us today at 454-4263 so that we can make preparations for you to be there and us partner together to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, as not just around the globe, but here in America as well. So I want to talk to you a little bit, probably a couple of programs here about Abraham, and we're going to begin in Abraham chapter 11. But I want to talk to you today about a different type of culture he created in his house, and that was he created a culture of vision. He created a culture of vision. And so verse number 13 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And so let's talk a little bit about vision today. I believe that in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, it specifically says that you and I are supposed to be people who understand the vision and the dream that God has given to us, that it would be old men, young maidens, and I'm not going to say old ladies here, but not so young maidens, I believe that God has a destiny and a future. He's got a purpose and a plan for every person on this earth. And so you need to have something that you are dreaming for, something you are aspiring for, something that you are pressing on to take hold of, because Christ Jesus took hold of you. There are too many people in society right now that are just skating through. There are cultures here around the world, and they are the exact same as they were hundreds of years ago, if not thousands of years ago. And they're not pressing on to take hold and say, "God, you have called me to make this world a better place and to take the good news of Jesus Christ with me wherever I go." I have an article or a little magazine, it's a men's magazine, on my desk, and it is about a car salesman. And every person that comes in to buy a car hears about Jesus. Every person that comes in to have their car worked on, they also hear about Jesus. I told you about the real estate person that I encountered several weeks ago, that every message I'd received had a scripture reference there. That every conversation we had, she was talking about the goodness of God. And so I believe that that one of the primary differences that exists in people's lives is whether or not they are creating a culture of vision. More than, okay, I'm looking to have this job so I can have this stuff, so I can have this kind of fun. That's very short-sighted. It's very nearsighted. It's not going to have any lasting eternal effects. And I believe that God has a vision and a purpose and a plan for each of us that will change someone's eternity, that we will leave a legacy behind us, that people will say, "Well done," that God will say, "Well done," that people will be able to see what a life of vision looks like. It's different, I talked a little bit about on a recent broadcast about some construction sites that are going on. Some of those sites had remained in the same condition for quite a long period of time, but now someone has come along with a vision, and it's not fulfilled yet, but I can tell you, with the amount of money that they're spending on construction equipment and everything, that it's not going to take long. It's not going to take long. When I was doing my series on turning sinkholes into skyscrapers, they can literally build a skyscraper now in just a fraction of the time that it used to take years and years and years. And now there are some 60-story buildings that are going up in a matter of months instead of a matter of years. And whenever you're spending billions or hundreds of millions of dollars erecting a skyscraper, you need a return. You need a financial return on that investment as quickly as possible. And so God has a vision for you. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to talk a little bit because this is still in the line of Abraham and Sarah, and it talks about these all died in faith. I want to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And when it comes time for me to be separated from this world, listen, that is the only thing that death has for a Christian. It separates us from this world, but Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so death is not something that we have to fear. It is not something to be avoided at all costs. We just returned from, or are returning from Texas, and we had served in Texas and served for a pastor and his wife. They were tremendous friends. And right before we got to go on vacation, she was promoted into eternity. And they had made a decision a year ago because they had prayed and they felt like she had been healed of cancer, of breast cancer before. And so she had that testimony, but this time they just sensed in their spirit that this time the miracle was going to be that she was going to be with Jesus. And she was promoted right before we got there. So we made efforts to go over and spend time with him and just let them know how much we loved them and appreciate them. She was still leading worship up until a few weeks before she died. And she died in faith. She died in faith, knowing that this world was not her home. It wasn't where she was meant to stay forever. She has a place in heaven that Jesus said, your place is done. It's ready. My child, come on home. So these all died in faith. And I pray that your vision is beyond a 5-year plan for your financial well-being. It's beyond what your home is going to look like or your landscaping is. I pray that you have a vision for eternity, where you're going to spend eternity and what you are going to prioritize to get there. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises or the fulfillment of the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. And so that's the thing with vision. Some people, now there's a state, Missouri. I went to Bible college there. I called it the state of misery, but it's actually Missouri. Wonderful people live in Missouri. So please, if you're from Missouri, I've had some people from a couple of states. One of them was New Jersey. The other one was Minnesota. And they could not take a joke about their state. Listen, I am from Oklahoma. I will make fun of Oklahoma. You are not going to offend me. And so if you're from Missouri, please don't get offended with me. I do that to my own state. You know, it's like calling Florida the Sunshine State when it rains here so much. But moving right along, might as well cause a little bit of trouble before I get back from vacation. But people... in Missouri, it's called the show me state. In other words, they will not believe something until they see it. People of vision, once they have a promise from God, once they have something that has been birthed in their spirit, they know that it is going to come to pass. They begin to take the steps and incrementalize and say, okay, this is how this is going to be. And it says that they saw these things. Having seen them afar off. And so there are certain things that I need to ask you about vision, and that is this. Are you going to be one who waits until the last minute until it is obvious to everybody that the vision is from God before you embrace it? Or are you going to be somebody who embraces it while it's still afar off? Or are you going to be somebody who is maybe an early adopter, or someone who about middle of the process you begin to see, or even sometimes a little later in the process, you say, you know, I had my doubts about this, but it looks like it might happen. Where are you in that promise? Because I believe that God wants us to have promises and that we will embrace them early on in the process. Remember, faith is the substance, it's substantial, of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so when you have seen the promise of God, you act upon that promise and you do not give any consideration to what the limitations or the liabilities may be in that case. When I came to Merit Assembly of God, there were four different ministers who shared things, or actually it was three ministers and a deacon from an independent charismatic church, that they all shared with me the liabilities, the limitations. They shared with me the hardships. But what they didn't understand was the promise that God had birthed inside of us. And I will tell you this, that when you have that promise, you need to go on and do the next couple of steps. We're assured of them. They saw them afar off, were assured of them, and then they embraced them. Okay? Now, I am a hugger. I have a customized side hug for people at church. But I like to give my kids hugs. I like to give my wife hugs. My daughters have had friends that come over. And so I never treated them to the same extent that I treated my daughters. And I don't know how I really got to this, but whenever I would hug my daughters, I would end up giving them three pats. And so whenever they would bring their friends over, I would give them the patented Bob side hug, and I would give them two pats on the shoulders. And it got to, excuse me, it got to be a big joke, because on special occasions like Christmas or their birthday or whatever, it's like I would give them three hugs, and you would think that it would be something that nobody would notice, but they said, wait a minute, I got three hugs today. And it's like, well, it's your birthday and you are like one of our adopted daughters here. And so, but I like to get my arms around things. I like to hold on to them and say, you know what? Now listen, an embrace is not a hold of limitation. An embrace is something that you cling to, that you hold on to, because it is something that you love. And so I don't like to shock my wife. She doesn't like for me to sneak up behind her or anything like that. But I let her know and say, hey, how about a hug? And, you know, by the way, she does not like anything like that when she's cooking. She said, I'm trying to cook your dinner here. Don't make me burn dinner. And so, you know, you need to find the appropriate way to do that. And so when it comes to the promises of God, though, I want a full on, I want a bear hug embrace. And it's like, thank you, God, for loving me enough that you have given me this promise. And even though I cannot see it right now, even though it looks like it's a distant fulfillment, you know, right now I'm just kind of seeing the mountaintops and I'm not really seeing the valleys that are in between those various mountaintops, I am fully embracing the promises that you have given. And so that's what we do. That's what we do with our ministries at Merit Assembly of God, is when God births something in us, we embrace it. When do you know, there at one point in time, our missions giving for the church was a grand total of about, let's see, less than 20. Let's see, it would have been 12. 119, 20, it'd been less than $2,400 a year, but we embraced it. We embraced it. 10, it'd have been about $2,300 a year. $2,300 a year. And now I've got individual families that give more than that, because back then we embraced it when we were 10 weeks behind on our salaries and had bills and had projects that we couldn't fund and stuff like that. We embraced the promise that God had for us, that if we would bless his kingdom, if we would focus on building his kingdom, that he would focus on building our congregation. And so I encourage you today, if you're going to create a culture of vision, you cannot embrace vision with an instant gratification mindset. You have to allow God the time to bring about the process. It's not that God could not do it quicker. God, all he's got to do is speak the word and bam, there it is. It's not that. He is preparing us for the promise. He's not preparing the promise for us. He's preparing us for the promise, because he does not want his blessings to crush us. I've seen way too many people who, when they got blessed, it destroyed their Christianity. It destroyed their prayer life. It destroyed all of that. And that's not what we're looking for. Today, we want God to prepare us. And you know, it sometimes takes him a long time to prepare mankind. It took, you know, thousands of years for him to prepare for the perfect time for Jesus to be born. So embrace those promises. And then when you start, if you're going to live a life of vision, you got to start confessing it. It's got to start coming out of your mouth and say, God, I know the word that you have placed inside of me. I have an assurance of them. And so let me talk just a little bit about the assurance, because I preached a sermon one time and said that dream that I had, was it God or was it the pizza? So sometimes you can go to bed and you've got things that are weighing on you, and all of a sudden you start dreaming about them and things like that. I was amazed. My father and I were having discussions about dreams that we were having, and both of us loved to play golf. I had this conversation with another person, and all of us had a similar dream of where you're supposed to tee off, and you know, you're either teeing off in the clubhouse or you're teeing off on the side of a hill, or you're teeing off in a place and they don't give you room enough to swing the club, and all of us, that's not a God dream. That's not a God dream. A God dream is something that says, you know what, you can try and run from this, but you're not going to be able to do it. And so I encourage people that whenever you are deciding of, you know, you're evaluating, let's put it that way, whether this was pizza or whether it was God, that you just take it to the Lord in prayer, and he begins to give you the assurances. I'd been called to be a pastor from, you know, somewhere between the age of 5 and 9 years old. It started coming out of my mouth somewhere between that. The time I remember confessing it was when I was 9 years old. That's when I remember it coming out of my mouth. So, but you assurance happens because when we were praying about coming to the church, even though we had had that call for years and years and years, there was a word that kept coming to us over and over and over again. God will cause people to be able to speak into your life in confirming manners. Our youth and children's couple that just joined us here a couple of weeks ago, there were things, and they said, you know what, this is what we're sensing, and then God confirmed it over and over and over again. And it still took several weeks for the fulfillment to come to pass, but we're believing for great things, because we know that the steps that are ordered of the Lord, they're not going to end up in failure. They're going to end up in success. And so allow God to not only speak that word into your heart, and you be ready to embrace it, but also wait for that assurance. He will confirm it. You know, things are established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and that's not where you go and say, this is the dream that I had. What do you think about that? But God will actually have people come up and begin to speak things into your heart and into your life that will confirm it, and people not know anything about it. And so the last step that we're going to talk about today, and it says, embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those things that you embrace will start coming out of your mouth. You will start speaking them because they are now part of your innermost being, and your speech flows out of your innermost being. Whenever I hear people using profanity, it concerns me. I've had a lot of people, and they would use profanity, and they would find out I'm a preacher, and they would say, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, it's not me you have to apologize to. You know, basically what your mouth will reveal is your innermost being. And I don't want vile speech coming out of my mouth, because to me that would mean that my innermost being is not in a healthy condition. But what about when you have embraced the vision that God has given to you? It's been confirmed. You're assured of it. It's not wishful thinking. It's not just a bad meal that's affecting your sleep, but you have a confidence. This is what God wants me to do. And then you embrace it. Now I've known people, I speak sometimes pretty boldly to people, and they would say, this is what God wants me to do. And then the next week they'd come and say, he wants me to do this. And the third week that he wants me to do this. And those things didn't flow together. They were contrary. And I was like, is your God schizophrenic? Is he double-minded? God is not. God is not. He is not a double-minded God. He will give you a vision. And so you need to, before you start speaking it out of your mouth, you need that assurance. You need to embrace it. And when you do, it is going to naturally flow out of your mouth. Your testimony should not be something that you have to study for. Your testimony should be because of a vibrant, a living relationship with Jesus, where he is speaking to you, where he is moving on your behalf, and he is doing great and mighty things for you. So I encourage you, be a person of vision. Be a person who embraces it when it's in the promise stage, even though the fulfillment may be a time off. Wait for God to confirm it, embrace it, and then allow that promise to begin to come out of your mouth and be a confession, saying, this is what my life is going to be like. Father, we just want to thank you for the vision that you have for us. I pray, God, that every one of us would say yes to your plan and purposes for our life. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you Monday, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. I say me from those things that might distract me. Please take him away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my world?